From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. More than 10 billion Bering Sea snow crabs disappeared in Alaska between the years 2018 and 2022, devastating a commercial fishing industry worth $200 million just last year. The population crash coincided with a marine heat wave that hit the Bering Sea. Now, fishermen and researchers are working to figure out what happened, and they think warmer ocean water could be to blame. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports.
The snow crab's population in the Bering Sea off the western coast of Alaska has fluctuated for decades. An increase in young crabs back in 2018 gave way to optimism that fishing would be good for years to come, but the hope was short-lived. Gabriel Prout and his family own the Silver Spray in Kodiak, Alaska. He says it was obvious something was wrong the last few years. The Bering Sea fishing grounds are usually covered in sea ice in the winter, but there wasn't much ice and they fished further north than usual. He says finding snow crabs was still difficult.
It was just very poor fishing. We searched for miles and miles and miles and really didn't see anything.
Bycatch, which is the catch of a non-target species, affects the snow crab fishery. But such a large, sudden die-off and the lack of sea ice was a red flag for scientists like Aaron Fidowa. Fidowa is a research fishery biologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
That was an immediate potential smoking gun when we saw this Arctic species suddenly in decline.
That's because sea ice is an important ingredient in the snow crab's life cycle. In the winter, it accumulates on the water's surface, and during the summer, the ice melts, sending cold, dense water sinking to the ocean floor where it hovers just above freezing. Scientists call it the cold pool, and it's a sanctuary for young crabs. Warmer temperatures can lead to starvation and higher rates of disease. At the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center, state and federal researchers are piecing together how all those factors contributed to the crab's collapse. Tanks filled with seawater pumped in from the bay replicate conditions on the seafloor.
And then we can hold different portions of the same population in, say, 5 degrees Celsius, 8 degrees Celsius, and we can begin to look at the response of those species once they're in these warmer temperatures.
Scientists use the pools to study how different temperature and pH levels affect the crab's development, how fast they grow, and how quickly they die. In a shrinking cold pool, that means more crabs pushed into a smaller space, fighting for less food. Across the hall from the federal lab, Ben Daly is also trying to figure out how a smaller cold pool affects crabs in the Bering Sea.
That's part of what we're doing now, is trying to untangle the what happened part. That's only half of the challenge. The other half of the challenge is, what do we do next?
Daly is a research coordinator with Alaska's Department of Fish and Game. His team has been tagging crabs in the wild with satellite transponders that will track their movement over time. He's hoping the tags provide more detailed information about the distribution of crabs across the cold pool. And in March, a group of state and federal researchers headed out on the Silver Spray to continue studying crab populations outside the lab. Federal scientists complete population assessments in the Bering Sea annually in the summer. Gabriel Prout says this winter survey is a big step in understanding more about the species overall.
We'll be doing 20 days of pot survey and pot pulling, measuring the crab, sexing the crab, sizing the crab.
And tagging crabs with daily satellite transponders. Prout and his family are grateful for the work. The many fishermen that rely on snow crabs for income are left with more questions than answers right now.
Now we're sitting tight trying to count our pennies and figure out how to make a way forward.
Scientists say it will likely take years before the snow crab population rebuilds. If another marine heat wave hits the Bering Sea, it could be even longer. But they're hopeful that lessons learned from snow crabs might provide insight into how other marine species handle climate change as the ocean warms. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobroth.
A federal judge in Washington state issued a ruling last week that threatens to shut down trolling for king salmon in southeast Alaska this summer. The ruling comes in a lawsuit filed 3 years ago by a Washington-based conservation group called Wildfish Conservancy that aims to protect a small population of orcas. The lawsuit centers on whether Alaska fishermen should be allowed to harvest king salmon, which are considered essential prey for the southern resident killer whales. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has been following the lawsuit from Sitka, in the heart of the southeast salmon troll fishing region. And as he told Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove, whether the king fishery will be closed this summer remains uncertain.
If you look at the order, The language of the order says, yes, they're definitely calling for the end of troll fishing this summer. But both the state and the Alaska Trollers Association, who are interveners in this lawsuit, filed a notice to appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court. And they'll probably ask for a stay of the order until the appeal is heard. So it's possible that fishing might happen this summer. It's still kind of an open question, though.
Yeah. And I take it that uncertainty is pretty difficult for fishermen trying to just get ready for the season or to know if they should get ready for the season. I want to talk more about what the impacts might be to the fleet, but first, maybe let's back up. Where did this lawsuit come from? What does it aim to do?
Well, it all got real back in December of 2022 when another U.S. District Court judge in Western Washington named Judge Michelle Peterson issued a report and recommendation that basically went in favor of just about everything the Wild Fish Conservancy was asking for. The Wild Fish Conservancy, in its lawsuit, had argued that the National Marine Fisheries Service had violated sections of the Endangered Species Act and the National Environmental Policy Act in failing to fully account for the impact of Alaska's Chinook fishery on this very seriously threatened population of killer whales in Puget Sound. So that report and recommendation had to be affirmed by another U.S. District Court judge. And that happened this Tuesday when Judge Richard A. Jones basically issued the two-page order saying, this is it. And I'm ordering the National Marine Fisheries Service to fix the flaws. And I'm also vacating this document that's called an incidental take statement. And an incidental take statement is essential to open a fishery that might impact an endangered species. And so this ITS, or incidental take statement, that allows Chinook fishing to happen in Southeast Alaska in summertime and in winter has been vacated.
So obviously this is focused on king salmon off Alaska's coast, but the orcas also spend a lot of time closer to Seattle, which is a huge city. It continues to grow. There have got to be other environmental factors going on there. So what are people saying about that?
Well, everybody keeps coming back to this, Casey, including our congressional delegation. They all issued statements saying this lawsuit is outrageous, mainly in that it overlooks what probably are the real threats to southern resident killer whales, which are industrial toxins, population of the Puget Sound area, vessel traffic, all these other sources that probably are creating more harm for these animals than the harvest of what is actually very few fish in Southeast Alaska. I mean, the 2023 troll harvest allocation is only 149,000 kings. We're not talking millions of fish that are being scooped up in Alaska.
And I guess, I mean, whether that sways the judge or the Wild Fish Conservancy, who knows? But I think what's fair to say is that if that fishery gets shut down, it's going to have a huge impact on those people and their families. What have you heard from them about that? I mean, what's the impact going to be on Southeast Alaska in general if this fishery gets shut down?
Pound for pound, a troll caught king salmon is the most valuable fish in Alaska. And the fishery is quite lucrative. At the dock, it's worth about $15 million. Statewide, there are about 1,800 permits for salmon trolling, both power and hand troll, but only half of those permits might be fishing any given season. And once those fish are sold to the processor and then the processor sells them and they enter sort of the economy, that $15 million is multiplied many times over. So it's going to be a huge impact, but I don't think it's going to be the end of trolling, mainly because chum salmon has become so valuable in recent years. But it's a loss to the people who have been doing this fishery or participating in this fishery for multiple generations. And it's kind of a loss for everyone who feels that Alaska has bent over backwards to try and preserve this stock, and it's being taken away on basically a technicality.
That was KCAW News Director Robert Woolsey talking to Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove.